All right. I got to change my setup here real quick. I know you all are wondering, what the heck is she doing? But you'll see. Okay. So I am really excited for this message today, fighting it out. I know how to fight. I've shared that before. I'm going to share a little more today. But first, I want to mention that we have been talking about Peter for the last few weeks, right? And we have learned that Peter means rocky. But today I want to talk about stones. Here is a stone. And this is a beautiful stone that we painted in kids' ministry. And if you've walked along the front of our building here, there's trees, you'll see more painted stones all around. So awesome to be able to paint these and decorate them. Stones are very versatile, okay? They can be used for good, like painting them. You could write, "Jesus loves you," on these stones, and you could put it in the park, a local park, for somebody to find and pick up and be blessed. Good things can be done. We can, like we did in kids' ministry, we work together with the kids, being creative, enjoying our time using these stones. But we know stones can also be used for bad, for evil, because this same beautiful stone, I could throw at the window and break it, or I could throw at one of you and severely hurt you, and I promise not to do that. And in biblical history, stones were used just for that purpose, for harming other people. For people who had sinned, that was their punishment. Not just one stone, hundreds of stones. Not just one person throwing stones, the entire community of people coming out and throwing stones at a person with the intention of killing them. Stones. Did you know, though, that Peter, the rock, referred to Christians as stones? We are stones. We're going to read real quick in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. So we are living stones in God's temple. Okay, I'm struggling with that one a little bit. Because what does that mean? How can we be stones? And how can we be living stones? Because, I mean, stones don't breathe. It feels kind of like an oxymoron to say living stones. But then we hear a little bit more. This is from Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:16. He says, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God? And the Spirit of God lives in you. So we are the temple. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. Why are we called stones?" Well, let's modify this a little bit. Let's not say stones. I want you to not imagine a round stone. What I want you to imagine is a brick. More like a solid brick. This is kind of heavy. A solid brick used to build a building, a temple. Actually, I'm going to put it right here. It's our building called brick. Because prior to Jesus' death, the Holy Spirit that we experience now wasn't with us. It was in the temple, an actual building in Jerusalem. And it was in a place in the temple called the Holy of Holies. And we, if we had been there at that time, could not access it. Only the high priest could access the Holy of Holies. And even then, only once per year could he access the Holy of Holies. But Jesus died, and the veil separating the Holy of Holies tore. It tore, and after Jesus was resurrected, ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to now dwell within us, in his believers. So we are no longer separated from him, which means now we are the living and breathing stones full of his Holy Spirit, and we are built together as a church body, as a Christian community, as his temple, so that even when we're not in a physical building, we are still Christ's community together. Because it's not just me. One brick, one stone is not going to build a temple. It's many. It's a whole community of God's people. That's why we must be in this together with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone and as the foundation. So now we know why. Why are we are called living stones? So what does that mean? How do we actually live? Well, we're going to go back to the rock to find out. But first, I'd like us to pray. Lord God, I just want to thank you for your Holy Spirit within us. Thank you that we are no longer separated from you. Thank you for your sacrifice, your salvation. You broke the barrier between us and the Holy of Holies, and now you dwell within us. And we want to live with you, for you, together as your community, as your temple here on earth, awaiting that glorious day of your return. So help us to hear you today, to hear your words, and to understand how you want us to live. In your name, amen. All right. Now, if you want to open up your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3, or your Bible apps. We're going to be starting with verse 8 and 9. It says, finally, all of you, which means all Christians, should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do. And he will grant you his blessing. So these words, this scripture here, these are all characteristics that will help us to grow in unity with one another. And unity is essential to the Christian community. So I want to show an example of this. We're going to go through these line by line to really understand what it means for us. But I really want you to see it. So I have a different version of a stone. I might have to move my brick, actually, because bricks are hard to stack up. So I'm going to use Jenga blocks, okay? I'm going to start here with grow in unity with one another. Be of one mind. Be of one mind. Okay, what does that mean? Here's our be of one mind. Be like-minded, live in harmony, and have a unity of spirit. Philippians 2:2 says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one in spirit and one in mind. So that means we all have to agree with each other all the time on every single thing, right? One mind. No, it doesn't mean that. We can have differences. We can have our own opinions. But we have to agree on the most important thing. And that is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is our Savior. And we, as a Christian community, are fully devoted to following His way. That is the one thing that we must be of one mind about, no matter what our other little opinions are. So here it is. Next, okay, more stones here. This is us. We're these living stones, right? Sympathize with each other. Sympathize with each other. That means put yourself in someone else's place. It means sharing in the joys and the sorrows with other people. Because we are called to develop a heart that genuinely cares for the well-being of fellow believers. Not a fakeness. Real, genuine care for other people, for other believers, even if we don't know them. We care, right? And because even if you haven't experienced what someone is going through, you can still show them that you care by listening to them and by meeting their needs. What do you need? Maybe it is just sitting and listening to someone tell their story, share what they're going through. Maybe they do want advice from you. Maybe they want prayer. Maybe they don't know that they want prayer. They need prayer, and that is what we are called to do, to bless people, to be with them. Okay, we've got it so far. We can do this, right? Okay, next, love each other as brothers and sisters. Yeah, okay. Grow in love for one another. Here we go. There's more of my stones stacked up here. We're building our temple. I like it. Because we're brothers and sisters. So even if we didn't grow up in the same household, we're now a family of believers. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are loving each other. Do you know what that love is like? Let's look at a picture of what that looks like. Yeah. See how much these sisters love each other? So much love. I love this picture. Yes. Big sister loves little sister so much, almost too much, right? And so, sometimes it can feel like that. Sometimes the love between siblings can feel like too much, right? Sometimes, it's definitely not always easy. How many of you have siblings? You know, yeah, it's not always easy. And if you had it easy, well, you are one of the rare ones, okay? Because siblings, they get on your nerves. They don't listen to what you're saying. Maybe they're too bossy. Or maybe you're like me. And you're the bossy one. And one afternoon, you're supposed to be like, you know, babysitting your twin brothers, who are only a year younger than you, by the way. So why are you babysitting them? But, and you're supposed to be doing that. And then you see them dragging their mattresses out of their bedroom into the front yard so that they can then go back upstairs, climb out their window onto the roof, and jump onto said mattresses. Yeah, okay, some of you in here. Mike, I know you would do it. So then you decide, okay, I need to go and take care of this. So you go out and climb onto the roof to tell them not to do that. But that doesn't stop them. They're young boys. They jump anyway. They jump onto the mattresses. And then, because they love you so much, they run around back inside and shut the window, so you're now locked out on the roof. So much love. So much love. And then, you know, you being the cautious older sister that you are, don't want to jump off the roof and break your leg. So then you have to yell and scream at the top of your lungs until they finally open up the window and let you back in again. Or maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just my experience with my siblings. And I know that that story is unique to my life, right? But I'm sure that you all have lots of different stories with your siblings, lots of different experiences, lots of different conflicts that you've had to go through. But the beauty of fighting with your siblings is that it doesn't stop you from loving each other, right? Because even though I got into a lot of fights with my brothers when I was a kid, I also experienced a lot of joy with them. We got to have fun together. We got to do life together. And when we love each other and share our lives together, that is what helps us develop this strong bond as a family. That is what Peter is saying when he says that Christians, you should love each other as brothers and sisters. We need to show loyalty, to support each other, to show love toward each other even when we don't agree on everything. The hard love. We also need to be tender-hearted. Here we go. Be tender-hearted. That means to show compassion. And really, it's more about, more than just showing compassion, it's about feeling it. It's like a gut feeling, this physical feeling, experiencing this great affection toward other people. This is the kind of feeling that Jesus had when he saw the needy crowds. Matthew 9:36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And Matthew 14:14 says, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. He felt compassion for them and a desire to help them, and that is what we are called to do. Do you experience that feeling of compassion for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you want to help them? Finally here, keep a humble attitude. Ooh, this is a doozy. I don't think my tower is tall enough. I might need to stack some more up. Because there's lots of us in here. We're all the stones, right? Okay. Keep a humble attitude. Put others above yourself. That reminds me of what Pastor Brent talked about last week. Submission. Submission is about putting other people above yourself. That is what being humble is. It is voluntarily submitting yourself. You are putting yourself below other people, not thinking that you're better than them. You're willing to encourage each other and rejoice in each other's successes. And you're willing to admit your own faults. Because we all have faults. Ephesians 4:2. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. But admitting your own faults is very, very difficult. Because in our sin, we are selfish. We are full of pride. We are the ones that are right. It's my way. It's what I think. It's what I want. I know better. I'm smarter. And you may not think that you're saying that, but really, really sit in that for a minute. Have you felt that way when you've had conversations with people? Or maybe even people you don't know, and you see what they're doing, and you question, why are they doing that? That's dumb. I wouldn't do that. I know better than that. That's that pride. That's that selfish thought, right? That's what we're doing, admitting it. So I used to work at a preschool. I was a preschool aide, and I was a preschool teacher, and I had a boss that was terrible. She was terrible. She was terrible to work for. She was controlling. She was demanding. She was always coming in and questioning what we were doing, how we were working, double-checking our work. I felt like she didn't show me any appreciation. She wasn't thanking me for the hard work that I was doing. Man, I'm changing diapers all day. I'm talking to parents. I'm dealing with kids who are fighting. And you're just giving me more and more and more. Keeping me to follow the rules, excuse me. And then it felt like she was showing a lot of favoritism to other people, to other coworkers. I felt like, why is she being so nice to those people? Why is it that when she walks by, she doesn't smile at me, but she goes over to them and it's, oh, hi, good morning, good morning. And I was starting to feel angry and bitter. And so in my young years, though, I wasn't humble and I wasn't kind and I didn't want to deal with it. And so my solution to dealing with that was to complain about it and gossip about it with my other coworkers. That's the solution. That'll make me feel better. I'm going to go talk to them about it. They know what I'm talking about. They know what I'm experiencing. And it didn't resolve. We didn't resolve it. I never went to her. And I just was angry. But I moved on. I moved on to a new job at a new school, another preschool. And I moved up, and I was now the preschool director. I was the boss. And I was doing great, man. I was like friends with all my employees, and we were working hard, and everything was going fine. And the kids were doing well, and I had a good rapport with the parents. And I thought, man, this is it. This is so great. This is amazing. Until I had one of my staff say, hey, Rachel, I want to meet with you. Can we sit down and talk one-on-one? And I said, okay. And then she called me out on all of these behaviors. Hey, you're always coming in and questioning us and what we're doing. Hey, you're showing favoritism. You're always talking to so-and-so in that other classroom. You're always happy when you're with her. And then you come into my room and you're just pointing out all the flaws. Boy, was that a punch in the gut? Yeah. Because she was right. I was doing those things and I didn't even know it. Well, I didn't realize how much it was affecting people. And I know, looking at it now, I wasn't purposely trying to hurt people, right? And so that was what really was getting to me, was not only, okay, I need to admit now, okay, I have hurt people even when I wasn't trying to, even when I thought I was doing well, I still am hurting people. Thankfully, they forgave me, but then I had to think about my former boss. And now that I'm in the position that she used to be in, and I know what it's like, I'm like, looking back, wow. Seeing her work through a new lens, seeing her behavior and actions through a completely new lens, and realizing, okay, she wasn't as mean as I thought she was. She wasn't as demanding as I thought she was. She wasn't even really showing favoritism. That was in my mind. That was in my selfish thoughts. And that was my fault for thinking that because I didn't go to her. I didn't go to her and talk to her about it. I didn't explain my feelings. I didn't work it out. And if only I had swallowed my own pride and humbled myself, then a lot of hurt could have been prevented. And that is what we are called to do. That is the humbling, the admission, the realizing, man, we have hurt people. But we don't have to keep hurting people. We still probably will, just so you know, because we're sinners. But that's why we're talking about this. So here we are. We have all of these living stones. We've built our community full of these characteristics. And if we live according to this scripture, we will stand strong and united. Let me throw a few more stones on here. Stones, bricks, rocks, whatever we want to call them. Okay, we're getting really kind of tall here. Here we go. But there's a problem with this. And I know you guys know what Jenga is. You know what's going to happen. But because I don't know if you noticed, when I started laying down the stones here, I didn't lay down a very strong foundation. I didn't lay down a cornerstone of Jesus Christ. This is just us. This is just us in our lives. So what happens then? When we don't have Christ as our foundation, our lives kind of begin to crumble. We don't know how to interact with each other in a healthy way. And then we have gossip. Here, can I do it? Yeah. Oh, that person's gossiping about me. I don't want to be involved with them anymore. I don't want to be a part of this. Bitterness. I don't want to talk to them. I'm just going to hold on to it. I'm going to keep it to myself. But I'm keeping track. I'm keeping track of everything that they do. All those things that they've said about me or they've done to me. I got a list, man. Keeping track of that. And I'm better. Ooh, oh, we're getting scary now. I'm better than them. I'm better. I know better. I don't need to be involved with these people. I'm so much smarter than them. And they're not doing what I want. They're not doing things my way. They're not listening to me. They're not singing the songs in church that I want to sing. They're not reading the scriptures that I want them to read. They're not studying the way I want them to. They're not joining me. They're leaving me out. All these things. And it's eroding our loyalty and our love. Oh, and now we know what happens. It falls apart. It falls apart because we are not on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Broken people, not supported by a solid foundation. So how can we ensure that we have a solid foundation? How can we ensure that we stay united in Jesus Christ? Let's go back to the rock again. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to drink one more drink of water. Verse 10. For the scriptures say, and he's quoting a psalm here, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. So as I was reading this, there was one piece of this passage that just kept hitting me. God was like, this is it. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Because what does that mean? Work to maintain peace? Because I know, like, when you think of the word peace, it's like, oh, you know, it's just like calm and you're just sitting peacefully and it's so nice and it's easy. And we see peace as like the absence of conflict. And we think that peacemaking is just, it's just a passive role. It's just going to happen if we just peace out, like hippie time, right, Brent, like last week? Peace and love, baby. But an effective peacemaker actively pursues peace by building good relationships. A peacemaker anticipates problems, because there will be problems, and deals with them before they occur. And when conflicts do arise, they are brought out into the open and they are dealt with before they grow unmanageable. Because we've already seen what happens when it's unmanageable. Making peace takes hard work. And the hardest work of all is dealing with conflict. How many of you love conflict? Yeah, I didn't think so. We don't love conflict. Nobody wants to fight with anybody else. I mean, maybe some people do. I don't know. But most people do not want to be in conflict with other people. And there's a lot of unhealthy conflict. And I have experienced a lot of different types of conflict over my life. You've heard some of that today. You've heard that other days. Here is some unhealthy conflict that you've all probably experienced too. Yelling and screaming, physical violence, avoidance, ignoring, gossiping, passive aggressiveness. Ooh, that one. I don't like that one. I mean, I don't like any of them. But I've experienced all of them. I've probably done all of them at some point. And this type of conflict is unhealthy, right? Because it's going to cause harm. It's going to cause harm to other people. It's going to cause harm to yourself, because this is not how you deal with conflict. This is not how you grow love. This is how you grow bitterness. This is how you break relationships, how you erode these relationships. This is the opposite of peacemaking. And we know that conflict is unavoidable, so it's imperative that we as Christians address conflict in a healthy way. Healthy conflict. So what is healthy conflict? Here we go. I'm going to tell you exactly what we're going to do. This is for all of us. All conflicts too, big or small. But ideally, if we can get to it while it's small, it's much easier. It may feel hard, but it's much easier to deal with when it's small. But we still should address it no matter what. First, we need to pray. We need to pray first in everything that we do. And we definitely need to pray first in conflict, in addressing conflict. Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So if you have a conflict with somebody, somebody has hurt you or you feel that they've hurt you, before you go to them or anybody else, you go to God. You start by talking to God first. and you honestly process your own hurt, your own frustrations with him, and humbly confess your own areas of fault. Process the issue, the problem with him, and make sure that you're seeing it from all sides. Because you are in the wrong also. Now that you've done that, you're going to be direct. This is the rules of conflict, often called the Matthew principle. This is how Jesus Christ says to handle conflict with believers in Matthew 18. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense privately to them. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. And if that person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then, if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. Because that's harsh. But Jesus is saying, if you're not going to be attempting to even try to live as a living stone, then don't try to fit into the temple, into God's temple. You are not allowing the Holy Spirit to work within you. That's what we do. So we go directly to the person with whom we have the conflict. We don't gossip about it. We don't talk with other people. We don't avoid the issue. We don't act in passive aggressive ways, trying to do things to upset that person. And we find a good time and we deal with the issue then, as soon as you can. Okay, final rule of healthy conflict. This is easy. It's going to be three things. Be constructive. Constructive. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So what that means is don't tear people down, don't call names, and don't unload on them. Because if you're one of those ones that's been holding on to that list of all the things that person has done, now is not the time to tell them all the things that they've done to me over the years. You did this, and then you did that, and then you made me feel like this. No. We're going to process one issue at a time. We're going to deal with one issue at a time. You're going to just speak kindly, clearly, and constructively. When you did this, when you said this, when I saw this, it made me feel upset. Explain your feelings in a calm way that you've already processed so that you can explain it to them without anger. Because have you been the one in the opposite seat, the one with somebody coming to you with that conflict? You feel defensive, right? You don't want to admit. So that's even worse if somebody's going to come at you yelling and listing all the things. It's a lot easier to accept and admit your own behaviors if it's just one thing at a time that you're dealing with. It's a lot easier to change one thing at a time, to fix one conflict at a time. So whether when we deal with conflict in this healthy way, whether we are the initiator that is needing to go and talk to that person, or we are the receiver, we are living now as God has called us to. Now we are building each other up. We are encouraging each other as living stones in God's temple. We are strengthened by our bonds of love and the foundation of Jesus Christ as our cornerstone. Because we must be one temple body of Christ together. Because guess what? There's people out in the world that are trying to harm us, that don't like us, that want to hurt us. And God told us that that was going to happen. Jesus said you're going to suffer. So we know it's going to happen, but it's so much easier to handle, easier to deal with when you have the body of Christ together encouraging each other up. So don't tear each other apart from the inside. So I have one more example of bricks. Okay, I said we cannot be, well, we can't be round stones because that's definitely not going to be a firm foundation. We can't be Jenga blocks. Okay. I have one more. I did say bricks, right? And I can't build a full-on brick building. But I had my son help me with this. These are a different type of bricks. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Here it is. Lego bricks. You like it, Luke? Lego bricks. Did you know that they're called Lego bricks, not Legos? There's no plural Legos. They are Lego bricks. Yes. And these Lego bricks are built on a firm foundation. I chose white because it's purity, Jesus Christ. And he had a lot of fun with this. I had a lot of fun with this. And what I really want to point out here with this temple, this example of a temple, is that all of these bricks, and it's still being built, by the way, not fully finished, but all of them are different colors, different sizes, different shapes. And yet, look at how they fit together. Look how they fit together, they hold together, and they build these solid walls of this temple. Because even in our differences, that is what God has gifted us with. Differences, uniqueness, gifts, different parts working together for the good. Different parts working together to build his temple. Because we are unified, one mind, unified in Jesus Christ. So that, not these. Let them go. Here's your final example. Be a Lego brick. Be a Lego brick. Held up by a firm foundation, holding strong. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you again. I know that conflict is a difficult thing to deal with. God, we've all experienced it, and I know a lot of us have conflict that we need to deal with. And I know some of you here are having people or a person come to your mind that you need to talk to, that you need to address these issues with. So I'm going to encourage you right now to pray first. Go to God first. God, help us to process our thoughts and our feelings with you and you alone. Help us to see our own faults, to admit our own mistakes, to be humble, so that we can then mend these relationships and build each other up. Lord God, help us to be living and breathing stones, building up your church body, your holy temple here on earth, growing stronger every day because we are built upon you, following you, following your ways, living a life of full devotion. Lord God, forgive us for all the times that we have not dealt with conflict in a healthy way. and help us to move forward. In your name, amen.